task will not be an easy one. Your enemy is well trained, well equipped, and battle hardened.
There is not a liberal America and a conservative America. There is the United States of America.
Good night and good luck.
Hey folks, it's Rick Wilson. Welcome back once again to the Elephant in the Room. It is June 12th, the year of our Lord 2026. And the elephant in the room is so much winning. I don't know about you, but I was told that we would be sick of winning, that we'd win so much that we were tired of winning, that we would say, Mr. Trump, it's too much winning.
We're going to win so much, you may even get tired of winning. And you'll say, please, please, it's too much winning. We can't take it anymore. Mr. President, it's too much. And I'll say, no, it isn't. We have to keep winning. We have to win more. We're going to win more.
And folks, when you consider it, it has been a lot of winning. The last year and a half, China has won so much. I'm thrilled for them. China has won so much than the global economy. They've won so much in diplomacy.
You've said that this summit is a success. As you get ready to head back to Washington, what's the most significant, specific thing you walk away from here for the U.S.?
I think the most important thing is relationship. It's all about relationship.
You're a great leader. I say it to everybody. You're a great leader. Sometimes people don't like me saying it, but I say it anyway because it's true. I only say the truth.
China's a very, very powerful, big country.
They've won so much in world power, hard and soft. You know, those woke USAID shipments that were in Africa helping to feed starving people and prevent Ebola. You know, thank God we're not doing that anymore. Those bags now that used to say, those bags of rice and soybeans and feed corn that used to say, a gift from the people in the United States of America, now say the same thing in Mandarin, except it's a gift from the People's Republic of China. China's influence is growing around the world, leaps and bounds. They're slapping down solar across China like nobody's business. They're dominating the global market for solar. And you know what? Solar doesn't have to come through the Strait of Hormuz.
China's been able to offset some of the energy shock from the Iran war and the Strait of Hormuz being shut, in part because of its commitment, its shift to renewable energy in recent years, like here in northwestern Gansu province, where this major solar thermal power plant rises out of the desert. You can see streams of light there beaming from these 12,000 mirrors, which move with the sun, redirects that sunlight onto that central tower there, heating molten salt to extreme temperatures. Now, they say in just 1 hour altogether, they're able to generate enough energy for a family's regular use in China for about 40 years. In fact, they say the tower generates enough energy by itself to power the equivalent of Aspen, Colorado for a year.
Now, look, I know we have to have petroleum products beyond just for power, but China's had a lot of winning. It's a lot of winning. They're winning so much. They're the winningest winners who've ever won. You know, there's another country that's been doing a lot of winning lately, even though we'd like to pretend that they're not. That's Iran. It has rarely in American history been a moment so catastrophic for our status in the world to watch American foreign and defense and military policy and the ability to project and execute on military power so thoroughly handed to an opponent of the United States. As of this week, we were on definitely positively going to winning McWinterson with a peace treaty with Iran, number 39, I believe was the iteration this week.
It could be the greatest deal in history. They could wave the white flag of surrender. They could say, we surrender, we're finished, we've had it. The United States is the greatest power. Praise be to Allah.
But Iran is winning. You know why they're winning? Because they're going to keep their nuclear materials. Because we've handed them control of their populace for 50 or 100 years. Because they control the Straits of Hormuz. Because they're intimidating and browbeating and driving America out of the arms of our allies in the Gulf and into their sphere of influence and control. Iran is winning. Because Donald Trump did not have a strategy with Iran. He had impulses. He had vibes. He had instincts. And I would like you to just all know by now that instincts are not a substitute for strategy. Instincts can inform strategy, but they're not a substitute for it. He has no strategy. So that's a lot of winning. Iran is doing so much winning in the Gulf right now. It's difficult to imagine that Iran would do anything except send Donald Trump fruit baskets for the next 100 years. This has been a cataclysmic defeat for America's military. And by the way, that's not because our men and women in uniform have failed in their work. When we put them out there, they are the most effective and courageous and astoundingly talented people you could imagine. But they've been put in service to a lunatic, a man who is unable not only to think strategically, not only to understand the consequences of actions, but a man who honestly has a different moral and intellectual universe than all of us, with the fantasy that he's conquered somehow.
Well, we're winning Iran. It's a total win for us. I mean, we had to do it. Look, two things with Iran. Number one, the strait has to be opened immediately and has to be free, no tolls, et cetera, et cetera. And number two is they can't have a nuclear weapon. That's all there is. It's very simple. And then we're going to get out of there.
Iran's Navy and Air Force, they understood from the very beginning, they can't beat us in the air or on the sea or on the land, but we can't beat them over time. They knew it. They knew it from the beginning. We were never going to put boots on the ground in Iran unless we wanted to have Vietnam with less humidity.
But I don't know that America has the appetite to do what I would really much prefer doing. You remember in Iraq, I said, don't go in, but they went in. They made a big mistake. It should have never lasted. You know, that war lasted 10 years, killed tens of thousands of people, millions of people on both sides, millions of people. Nobody ever reported that. We've lost 13 soldiers in two wars. In Venezuela, we lost none, took over the country. And in Iran, we lost 13. In Vietnam, we lost hundreds of thousands, 19 years. Nobody says that. They say, you've been there for 3 months. 3 months. You know, they're going crazy because I've been there for 3 months. I've decimated the country in 3 months.
Are you thinking
and
next?
No, they blame me, Brian. They said, you said you'd be out of there faster. Well, it's a much bigger situation now because we've done
people.
A better job than anybody anticipated you could do in such. Look, we were in Vietnam 19 years.
But
we didn't do the job because we didn't have the right leadership, to be honest. If it were me, I would have had that war done in 3 months.
You know, folks, as you get older, you look at your responsibilities more seriously. You recognize that you have a spouse and children and grandchildren who are going to need you one last time when that time comes. And it comes for all of us. You recognize that life insurance matters, that it's something you can do now that can make a huge difference for your family later. I've known people around my age who died and had taken care of their families with insurance. The lives of those people that remain behind were better because of it. It's one of the things you do as an adult. One of the responsibilities you have as an adult is to plan ahead for your family. That's why I think the system Ethos has built is so great. You know, you go online, you answer these simple medical questions, you get a quote from a provider, and you're covered. They've taken the friction out of what is a complicated and messy process of getting insurance. And a lot of people really don't get insurance because they don't want to go through sitting in an office with an insurance agent, going through long medical exams, all those things that put people off in our very busy world. What could be easier? You get a quote in seconds, the application takes a few minutes, and you can get coverage the same day. It's 100% online. It's so fast, it's so easy. And that's where Ethos really shines. There's no medical exam. You answer this simple health questions, pretty basic stuff, and you can get up to $3 million in coverage. Some policies are as low as $30 a month. They've got a 4.8 rating out of 5 on Trustpilot with over 4,000 reviews. And you know, that matters. People who tried it really like Ethos. Take 10 minutes to get covered today with life insurance through Ethos. Get your free quote at ethos.com/Lincoln Project. That's ethos.com/Lincoln Project. Application times vary. Rates vary. Another area where we've become big losers is that the Donald Trump promise to his people, aside from the economy, that promise, that fundamental Trump promise, was to keep us out of forever wars.
I'm not going to start a war. I'm going to stop wars.
No more wars. No more disruptions. We will have prosperity and we will have peace. Under Trump, we will have no more wars, no more disruptions, and we will have prosperity and peace for all. I am the candidate of peace. I am peace.
And Iran is a forever war.
Time will go by. They're going to be in worse shape as time goes by. We're hitting them very hard. We have unlimited ammunition. We have of the high level and medium level. The medium and medium high level, we have virtually unlimited ammunition. And we're using it. We're using it. We can go forever.
And the invasion that he's about to pull off in Cuba is a forever war. It will be a forever war. None of that's going to survive the idea that everything's going to look like Venezuela, where you snatch one guy and you leave and you don't talk about it again. It's insane. But Donald Trump promised America wins, but he's so far given them to China and Russia. All right. Well, Russia too, but that's another story for another day. But to China and Iran. Russia, he's given some wins to, but Ukraine has been taking them back, and he gives them to them. And as for the American economy, he promised his voters and a lot of other people who would not have considered themselves Trump fanatics, Trump hardcores. He promised American voters, we're going to bring that inflation down.
Are you concerned, Mr. President, about the latest inflation number which came out this morning? Could that be a
no? I love it. The numbers were great. You know what I really love? I love the inflation. You know why? Because as soon as this war is over, you know, I can say it now. Something you didn't know. Do you know we've been taking out millions of barrels of oil? Nobody knows it. You know who doesn't know about it? Iran, until right now.
Gas and groceries going to be so inexpensive again. Gas going to go to $2.
Gasoline is less than $2 in many places, a gallon, which nobody expected to see, but I did.
You know, drill, baby, drill. Drill, baby, drill. I got to make sure that people can afford to produce the gas. But
we've done so much. You know, energy is way down. Look at energy. We're going to have $2 gasoline. I did that.
You'll get so tired of winning. You'll say, Mr. President, Mr. Trump, I'm tired of all the winning. Real wages are down. Middle class hiring in white collar jobs is on the edge of a razor blade called AI, and it's about to plunge into the darkness. And everyone knows it. We're just pretending.
What's your message to American families who are scared by the rise of AI? They're worried that their kids are not going to be able to have jobs someday because AI
will take over. Well, I'll tell you, AI has been amazing because right now we have more jobs, more people working right now in the United States by far than we ever had before. And outside of the war, and I assumed the economy was going to go down, the stock market would go down 20-25%. It's actually up. The stock market is higher now than it was before I started the Iran situation. And on the Iran, I had no choice because they were going to have a nuclear weapon. We're not going to give them a nuclear weapon.
The EPA is saying they're not going to regulate data centers.
I've traveled the country talking to folks. I know you do the same. And I'm sure you've heard this, that there's a ton of skepticism from certain communities about these data centers. Only about 37% of Americans say they would support plans to build a data center in their community, according to a poll that we did here at Politico. What assurances are you offering these communities, and what can you offer today that are really skeptical that the energy production needed for these data centers won't harm them or their health?
Well, it really depends on how the deal is structured. They're not all the same. Not all hyperscalers, not all projects, not all communities, not all climates are the same. The source of energy, the source of power, whether you're providing, net taking, whether or not you're closed loop or not, if you're recycling your water or not, you're offering assurances. You can't just across the board act as if every data center project is equal. Like they're all following the same exact model in how they power their project in various ways, or how they cool their data center.
Food and Drug Administration and Health and Human Services, run by RFK Jr., the noted serial killer. They really seem to have no fucks to give about the Ebola outbreak.
This New York Times report paints a picture of a health secretary who's far more focused on food recommendations, pesticide exposures, and hunting for evidence to support for his long-held belief that vaccines are harmful. He's made just one known visit to the CDC since last August after a gunman opened fire on the headquarters and killed a police officer. Given your experience in past administrations, what would you typically expect from an HHS secretary?
This is highly unusual. This is the only HHS secretary that I did not brief in the decade I was at CDC. And, you know, during an Ebola outbreak or the hantavirus outbreak, you would expect that career scientists would be briefing the secretary on these issues. And certainly with an interest in chronic disease, you'd think he'd want to hear from the chronic disease center director. Instead, he moved her out of the agency. So these are just really troubling things for somebody who wants to make America healthy again, that he's not listening to his health experts.
They seem to have very little care about record numbers of measles cases in the country. I would not consider that a category of winning, but they apparently do. RFK doesn't come to the meetings, apparently, in his own department. It is run by a number of skells, weirdos, conspiracy theorists, grifters, clowns, creeps, and anti-vax lunatics. And I'm just going to trigger all the anti-vaxxers right now. If your version of winning means kids getting measles, you shouldn't be allowed to have kids. They should be taken from you and raised by people who care about them. I one time got the anti-vaxxers really mad at me because I said they need to go to re-education camps. I believe that more than ever. You know, there are about 60 people online who have these massive profiles. It's a brief aside, but that actually going to come around a point. About 60 people only have these massive profiles in the MAHA movement. And their version of winning is saying, oh, you can take ivermectin and cure viruses. Oh, you can drink raw milk and cure viruses. Oh, you can shove beef tallow up your ass and cure viruses. It's all a lie. But when you think about what the federal government is now promoting through the RFK at HHS, that is not winning. Americans' lives are going to be shorter and more miserable because HHS is also now blocking the development of new vaccines that are based on mRNA, where there's a potential for absolutely world-changing saves against cancer, against Alzheimer's, against heart disease, against all these other things. They're blocking them. They're blocking them because the insane people that run that department, from RFK, you know, dead raccoon penis RFK down, believe that you can save yourself from Ebola with ivermectin. By the way, I've bought more ivermectin in my life than most of these anti-vaxxers. And why? Because we own fucking horses. It's horse dewormer. Anyway, so endeth that aside. It's one of my particular hobby horses. The whole anti-vax thing truly makes my skin crawl. You've been winning so much in the economy that it's hard to imagine how much more you could win, except that home prices are crashing around the country now.
The U.S. housing market is slowly dragging itself into 2026.
2025 was a challenging market.
One thing that has slowed down buyers now, of course, is a higher CPI, a higher unemployment rate. The people that have been moving and the momentum that we had were definitely slowed down far, far less by interest rates than the intrinsic factors, the cost of living. Homeowners insurance, car insurance, and utilities and medical insurance are the top objections that I hear when a buyer talks about buying.
Again, real wages are down now. Interest rates are going up again. You know, another area where we are the winningest winners of all winning is corruption. We are now the most corrupt country on the planet. And folks, that takes some doing. We're like Kazakhstan levels of corrupt now. We're like Somalia levels of corrupt now. We are corrupt in ways that make the Russians go, oh, ease up, man. That's too much. That's too obvious that you're stealing from the people. The idea that this country is governed by a claque, one of my favorite words, by the way, driven by a claque of these oligarchic criminals is rubbed in your face every single day. And that, my friends, is not winning. And the stock market, as of this moment, is being rigged to make Elon Musk $1 trillion this week, starting today, on Friday. SpaceX IPO. It is the biggest rug pull in the history of rug pulls. They're offering it to retail investors at $1.35 a share. Guys, the math doesn't math. But we live in a world now where what would have been seen as a fraud now is going to be a win for Elon Musk. He's selling stock wildly valued above any business model. They're talking about OpenAI, SpaceX, and Anthropic going public, each with a $1 trillion plus valuation. There's just not that much money in the stock market to do it. There are not sufficient numbers of dollars to make these IPOs work. But those people are winning, and you're not. You know why you're not? Because if you're a retail investor, if you're a schmo, if you're a mom and dad guy, if you got on your Robinhood app or whatever app you use, the idea is not for you to get rich. It's for Elon and those guys to get rich. Market's gone up a lot, and you think it's a sign of something in the economy that's a big win. It's a bubble, and they're creating a bubble. And American retail investors rarely win in the bubble. And by the way, when it all crashes out, when they figure out they can't run this CapEx, this capital expenditure, at the scale that they're claiming they're going to do it. Elon Musk is talking about building multi-trillion dollar orbital data centers. Get the fuck out of here.
The next step beyond Earth data centers is our Earth orbital data centers. And we'll be launching with SpaceX orbital data centers at the 100 to 200 gigawatt per year level. Not cumulative, I mean per year. And ultimately, we see a path to maybe launching as much as a terawatt per year of compute from Earth.
Just stop. Stop selling garbage to people. It's madness. If the idea in America used to be that you worked your ass off and you made a lot and you made a life for yourself, you'd prosper and your family would prosper. And you thought Donald Trump was going to deliver that to you? That is not the winning he had in mind. We also now live in a country where the president of the United States, the man at the top of our government and of law enforcement in this country, has decided that people are going to be on his enemies list. I am on the enemies list, quite literally on the enemies list of Donald Trump. I and many others. How do I know? It's on the White House website. It's on the White House website. Pure intimidation. It's pure garbage. But it's something you got to face in a country that has abandoned its commitment to the presidency being part of a tripartite government, of the executive, the legislative, and the judicial branches. He governs like a king, so kings have enemies lists, and that's where I am. Last area of winning that I want to talk to you about today is as a country, not the economy, not the political world. It's about who we were and are and should be. Now, look, Trump has always been a narrow gauge kind of thing for that vision of the future. The Eagles, the WWEF or WWE or whatever it is he's having at the White House, the monster trucks, the fireworks, the America, fuck yeah, all of it. As we approach our 250th anniversary, is not, to my mind, winning. You know, I wrote last week about D-Day and the scope of the courage of not only the men who led that fight from the beaches and fought that fight on the beaches, but the men who led it at the top. Eisenhower and Roosevelt both knew this was a historic gamble. They both understood that it would take America's special character to liberate Europe from Hitler. It would take something extraordinary. And they were right. Those men who stormed those beaches represented a generation of people who came home and built lives, built families, and many of whom helped to turn the tide of history on civil rights, on the economy, on building a country worthy of the sacrifices of the men who died on those beaches. That was winning. That was winning. But we've lost that. We have substituted courage and bravery and fealty to honor and the idea that we are called to something bigger for the selfishness and the callousness and the greediness and the shittiness and the conspiracy theories and all the garbage that Trump has weaponized in our culture, in our society, in our politics. For him, it has been a win. The more he breaks us apart, the more he harms this country, the more he shatters the idea that we are a propositional nation, where no matter where you came from, the rules apply to everybody. No matter where you came from, if you come here and play by the system, play by the rules, that you can become an American. He shattered that. That consensus is gone. He did it for political gain. He did it so he could win. And it worked. And the consequences we're facing because of it, losing everything, our economy is in shambles. Our society is divided like it's never been before. Hatred is the dominant currency of the realm. Paranoia and conspiracy and a snitch culture and a surveillance state are inherent to everything he does. Folks, Donald Trump can try to sell you winning all he wants, but the elephant in the room is that Donald Trump has made this country poorer. Donald Trump has made this country harder, and Donald Trump has made this country weaker. That, my friends, is not winning. That elephant in the room is a big, big loss. Hey, folks, thanks so much for listening to the Elephant in the Room podcast. Appreciate you as always. Do me a big favor. Go ahead and like and subscribe, whatever you're watching or listening to us on. You can also, I'd be very grateful if you go on my Substack, Against All Enemies, and subscribe, either free or as a supporter of the Substack. You can also check me out on Lincoln Square and on the Lincoln Project. Thanks, everybody, and we'll see you again next Friday.
The Lincoln Project podcast is a Lincoln Project production. Executive produced by Whitney Hayes, Ben Howe, and Joey Wartner-Cheney. Edited by Riley Main. Hey, folks, if you want to support the Lincoln Project's work against Donald Trump, Elon Musk, and this MAGA craziness, go to action.lincolnproject.us/helplp. If you'd like to get in touch or have suggestions for a guest or a show topic, or just want to say hi, our email is podcast@lincolnproject.us. For our MAGA friends, please, no more nudes. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you again next time.
Good night, and good luck.